I actually get physically scared, knowing that one day I am going to die.
I'm on my way to space, yes, I'm on space, I'm getting closer. Fuck, get the hatch open now!
You get in the car, and she's doing about 50 down a 30 road.
No, he's lying. I do 31.
Hello, ladies and gentlemen, and welcome back to 4G Shore. We are actually back with season 4. Alongside with me today is...
It's me, Colin.
It's me, Becca.
And it's me, Matt.
Right, so that was a bit of a shit intro, but at the end of the day, we've been missing for God knows how long.
Yeah. I was actually concentrating on something at the time, and I completely forgot I was going to come in. So it was like, oh yeah, it's me.
Oh my God, sort your shit out, guys. Fuck's sake.
Yeah, man, it's the first time ever, right,
Matt? And he's back.
I know. I don't even know. Have we ever done a podcast before?
Yeah,
I don't think we have.
Can't tell that we've done 3 seasons already, you know.
I was just about to say, yeah. You would think that the amount of recordings we've done would be at least professional-wise so far.
Well, the thing is, me and Rags were talking last night on WhatsApp, and we're kind of like, says maybe this season will be organised.
Hell no.
I kind of laughed myself to sleep.
No, the best thing about us is that we're never organised.
There's no script or anything like that. We don't go by script. We just sort of like make little markers and then go with the episode.
Don't you make markers? Well, we just go on with it.
Unfortunately, I didn't have enough time to prepare for this episode. You know what I mean? Colin threw us in the deep end this morning.
I have. But the thing is, right, we don't go by script, but we're opening them up. Is script.
Come on, get your bread working.
Yeah, dude.
I'll try.
Anyway, so how does it feel to be back to season, back in another season, season 4? And Becca, this is your second season now, isn't it?
I know, so I've got no excuses. Yous have no excuses, I do, I'm new still.
Oh, I have an excuse, I've now got a job, so that's my excuse.
Welcome to my world!
Yep, now before we actually start this episode, we have a couple of things to update on. G's still hiding under his rock. But he is okay. I did get some coordinates where my pigeons kept flying around.
My pigeon died. It starved to death. So yeah. It didn't arrive to its location.
Yeah, you didn't send it off with this little backpack.
No.
The problem is, we're going to play a bit of sad music here. Matt's pigeon was found sadly upon some tree.
It was, and it had no leftovers, you know.
Because he was under a rock, he just couldn't find G, and he just sat there in this tree and sadly passed away.
He did, yeah.
And
God bless Terry, the pigeon.
He was. Next.
But next time, just give him food.
Yeah.
give him a packed lunch.
Yeah.
So moving on from that, Matt, you've just said there you actually got a job now, which congratulations. How does it feel to be working again?
Oh, it's been a while, but it's enjoyable. I'm enjoying it at the moment.
That's because you knew for it.
Hey, for those that
want to know, he's actually in the same job line as what Becca is, as a carer.
Yeah, just the difference is he's not going to deal with the dead.
Oh, you'd be surprised. There's one that's dying currently, but there's no wonder, you know.
I don't mean this in a horrible way for the viewers that are actually listening at this, right? But I will just say, if anything happens, Matt, at least you eat your feelings on that one on the night time.
Oh, I wish. I don't even eat my fingers as it is anymore. Just giving up on that.
Storing them all in the cupboard for when you really need them.
Yep, exactly. For the winter. You know, winter's coming.
You need that energy.
It is. Hey, guess what? My favourite time of the year is coming as well. Halloween.
Well, I was going to say, if you were going to come out of winter, I'd be like, you're screwed then, because your bones are going to seize up.
Oh, my hips will go.
Sorry, I've stacked up well on his oil.
The only one time you see Colin pile the weight on, and even then he just becomes an icicle.
Yeah, just shatters into a bit of pieces.
So
I would like it if humans hibernated, because then I could just sleep all winter. But
it was called wrapping up in blankets.
Yeah.
So, oh my God, man. For today's episode, I know we're about 5 minutes into this listening to us ramble on, right? But today's episode needs to be addressed. We are going to be talking about fears. Things that we fear, things that are like what creates fear, you know, our personal fears. So, you know, it's going to be one of those episodes. Viewers, I know, you know, one of those episodes like, oh, for God's sake, another serious episode. Where is the fun? But stay tuned for the season. There is going to be some fun stuff coming.
Yep. Quite a bit, actually.
We've got more epic tales from Becca, you know what I mean? You know, the last time she said that Rome invaded Africa or something along those lines.
That was so funny.
We might be surprised by a guest.
Yes, we've also got a guest coming back.
We do.
So we've got that to look forward to. I mean, this season seems to have like a good range of titles.
Topics.
Wait. Yeah, I mean, there's a good vibe going around it, isn't it? Yeah. I mean, my fear is that this organisation at the start of season four is going to be done by tomorrow. So I'm terribly fearful. And that Matt's going to call up next week and say, I can't do it.
Wait, I was half expecting Matt to turn around and say, I'm not coming in today after. You turn around and says he was washing his hair and, you know.
Yeah, when I seen that message, actually, Matt, I did really, like, I looked at it in my heart, something that was like, oh,
did you actually believe me, though?
Like, the start of the season. Well, not the hair part. Once I seen the hair part, it was like, what? Like, when I seen, I cannot do it today, and I was like, oh, we've just started and we're already kind of do it today.
Yeah. When did you say that?
Imagine if I come out and say, sorry, I can't do today because I've got work. And imagine if I said that, you'd be like, oh, God.
It's like you've had all day to tell us that you've had work and you've only just telling them about like half an hour before the episode started.
Sometimes you can't help it.
Yeah, with that line of job. I'm like,
yeah, physically kind of be helped.
So do you think that could be a fear that you have got then? A fear of being late? Well, minus Becca. I know you need like about 20 million alarms to get up.
No. Rags, I will correct you there for 1 second, right? I hate if Becca wakes up late. Right. Bearing in mind, she has to be at work for 7. She gets up at 6:30. That's okay. But if we wake up at 10 to 7, this house might as well be the German battlefield.
Not true.
In World War II.
But the thing is, though, she sets so many goddamn alarms and she never gets up to them.
I'll correct you there. I don't set any of them. It's the other one.
Yeah, but you get up if you didn't set any alarms.
Exactly. What would you think my plan is?
Yeah, picture this, right? Becca's so fearful, right, when it comes to being late, is that I am being told to get my damn shoes on before I've even gotten up and get me pants on.
I can vouch for that one.
Say, get your shoes on. I need to be pants on first. Doesn't matter.
Just hold your dressing gown on and go for the drive, mate.
I'm walking down the road, my hips squeaking and creaking and doing all this funky stuff. And she's sitting there going, come on, keep walking. It's like, if I walk any faster, I'm going to fall over and die.
What do you think I'm trying to do?
And then you get in the car, and she's doing about 50 down a 30 road.
No, he's lying. I do 31.
That is absolute bullshit. I've heard you screech down the street.
Shut up, you.
It's like, we're driving an automatic car and she literally wheel spins this automatic car on the spot, smoke behind her, straight down the street, 50 mile an hour. Any police that listen to her, get in contact, I'll give you a reg, you can give our ticket. I don't care where you're from.
Yeah, but you'll be paying that ticket.
Exactly.
I'm not paying it.
So...
Well, this is a good start of the episode, isn't it? We're like 9 minutes into it and we're already rambling on.
Well, we're grassing up Becca for speeding down the street when she's late.
But the fear of being late.
That to me is a weird fear. You know, there's some weird ones out there. Real, real
weird.
Well,
has anyone got any? Because I ain't done no Googling, no nothing.
I'm with you, Matt.
I've got a few, but I'll talk about one of mine that came up and it's in this list. And to me, it's actually... really crazy one, and it's a fear of choking and how bad it can get.
Well, yeah, you can die from choking.
Yeah, you can. But what happened was because I'd slept with something in my mouth and I woke up feeling something in the back of my throat, it kicked off a fear that I was going to choke every time.
God, I wish I could feel something in the back of my throat when I'm waking up.
Yeah, but yours is a different
kind. A little bit jealous there, Matt.
A little bit.
But... This is like, this fear literally stopped us from eating. I didn't eat for about 2-3 weeks.
It was longer than that.
Because I was that fearful.
No, yeah, not like,
funny. I've heard this story before.
You stopped eating for about 2-3 weeks again, then a friend actually set it off again.
Yes. The friend set it off again, which knocked us back, but I didn't stop at that point. I literally started again.
You just went back to his comfort food.
It was. I had to go back to soup. I had to then move on to scrambled egg. I then had to go back to soup because I got fearful. And then moved back to scrambled egg and then moved up until eventually I was eating meat and chewing. Do you know, for about 4 weeks after, because I hadn't chewed properly, my jaw ached after a couple of chews on a beef.
Do you know, this is why your body's telling you that it doesn't want to put on weight because of that situation. That's why you're probably so thin, because it doesn't want to hold in.
It didn't stop him after a while when he got like a little bit better. Now I can't stop him eating. And he's still a skinny twig. Right.
Yeah, true. He'd blow away in the wind.
He eats more than me.
Wait, that is a fear. As much as it's crazy, I wouldn't wish on anyone. It's horrible. Horrible fear.
It's still a fear at the end of the day.
Wait, it is. This is a thing. Some of the fears I've got here as a list, to us are crazy. But to that person, it's real. And it's a massive fear, you know, and it's the way it makes you feel is terrible.
I mean, fears of, like, spiders, you know, fears of chalkboards, people chewing on metal, people have got a fear of that. You know, it's just the most unusual stuff. I mean, I had a friend that actually used to like run out of the kitchen as soon as she seen tinfoil. I was like, what the hell's wrong with you? He's like, get away from us, I don't like it. I was like, seriously, it's just tinfoil. This thing heats up your food.
I've heard of the tinfoil one, but it's actually aluminium in whole, isn't it?
It's a type of metal, isn't it?
Now. Hold on. Get it right? Because we've got American viewers listening. Yeah, it's aluminium.
No. For the Americans who need to learn to speak right, it's aluminium.
Yes, it's aluminium. And also another one, right? It's a caramel, not caramel.
Oh my God, did you see the whole debate going on about that the other day? There was a girl on TikTok that was like, it's caramel, not caramel. She's American. And this other guy, English, he was like, it's spelled caramel, not caramel.
I'm sorry, dear, but you're missing out another vowel.
Yeah?
I'm so surprised, right, that America and Britain haven't started chucking nukes at each other.
Yeah, but they forget that the language is English.
Exactly.
It is. But they say American English.
Yeah, but it started.
But it's still English.
It's maybe American English, but it's broken English. They broke it.
When they say Fantana, it's Fanta, not Fantana.
Actually, that was just her.
I was going to say, I've never heard of someone called Fanta, Fantana.
I've heard plenty of Americans say Fanta and they say Fanta. They don't say Fantana.
Oh, well, that Rag's friend didn't. She always wanted to say Fantana. And I just wanted to clap her.
She was weird.
Well, along the lines of a fear, right, there's a fear of long words. So someone who's scared of long words, the person who came up with this fear and decided to name it is a cruel bastard.
It's a long word, isn't it?
He's literally called it hippopotatonamonadacudabudalophobia.
Say that again.
I will put it in podcast.
Say that again.
Chat. That is the word that came up for this fear. And it's, if you're...
I thought he was going to say like Hakuna Matata like halfway through or something like that. I was like, what?
If you're diagnosed with that and your doctor sits there and says, oh, yes, you've gotten this. Say that word, your fear's going crazy straight away.
No, I would just laugh and laugh.
How cruel is that, though?
That's hilarious. That word is hilarious.
You think you would come up with something short, like wordophobia, but no, it's got to be a mile long.
Come on, say it again.
Wait, that's getting them over the fear, isn't it?
I'll try. I think it's called hippopotamushikotafunafunafunafobia. If anyone can say that name, please message me or send a voice chat or whatever.
Brilliant.
So we know what it says. I'm going to put it in Google, actually, and find out what it says. Dad, I'll be back. Carry on with your chat.
Hippotomonstrosis.
Where is it?
It's in the podcast.
Hippopotomonstrosis.
So it's hippopotomonstrosis quipedaliophobia.
I'm not even trying.
I was just about to say, I don't even think that Becca could even say that.
Nope.
It just sounds like they're scared of hippos, basically.
You would think that, but it's a hippo.
it says hippopotamus. Or hippopotamonstrous.
Hippopotamonstrous quadripaliphobia, is how it's said.
So, it's definitely not what you said, but your way sounded so much better.
That was me sometimes.
You sounded brilliant.
It's a quibdalphobia.
Yeah.
The last bit is a quibdalphobia.
That's what I've just said there is how it's spelled. How it said.
Yeah, well, the way you said it was 100 times better.
I liked it better.
Halfway through you saying that, it sounded you started doing like some form of voodoo.
Yeah, voodoo, voodoo, voodoo.
It's one of them words, though. This is what confuses me. And this, I do apologize to the viewers here and the listeners. We physically will get sidetracked plenty through this episode.
Oh, yeah. Now you're there.
So this is what confuses me. They come up with these new names for things, right? And they've always got to make them so you can't pronounce them.
Yeah, exactly.
I know.
Or you can't spell them. So for me, my disablement is spastic paraplegia.
Even he can it too.
Why couldn't you just turn around and say limp? Muscle problem. You know.
Oh, yeah, you're suffering with limpitis.
Yeah, but it makes more sense.
Well, no, it doesn't, because...
They like to be awkward.
Yes, but if you think about limp in a different way...
Well, a limp dick.
Yeah, I suppose you could say limpitis for your legs, a limp dickus for your dick.
A limp dickus.
I'll just come up with wobblyitis for you, because you know.
No, I've got
Colin, when he hits about fucking sticks, he's gonna become fucking Triposaurus Rex.
I'm gonna call him Zoom, because he just flies faster than anyone else.
Yeah, but you could just call it chopperitis.
It's all right, Colin. When you reach that age, I'm gonna attach some balloons to you with helium in, and then you're just gonna take.
Yeah,
and
you need the one, Matt.
Yeah, probably.
You probably only just need the string.
I'm looking investing into the pump, you know, where you replace one year your bits, your nuts with the pump, and you pump it up.
Wow.
So, right, back to the episode.
Back on topic, yes.
Mm-hmm. Let's go.
Back on topic, because that went in a very, very weird thing. So, the next one, guys, is a fear of gravity.
That is... that makes sense.
Not really, because there's no...
It kind of makes sense.
It's all around you.
You're surrounded by it. Well, you just don't want to leave the house. Like, you're in your flat, like, shitting yourself. Like, oh my God, I'm so scared.
Did you just, like, put yourself in cling film just so they don't have to even...
That is more trypophobia, you know, when they fall over, they're like, oh fuck, I tripped.
That's my problem.
That's a Colin.
This medical name is called borrowphobia.
So they're borrowing stuff off people, or they're a borrower.
That's what it would sound like. But it's literally a fear of gravity. And how do you have a fear of the one thing that keeps you planted on Earth?
Do you know what we should do for a topic one day? It's all these big words. We should just do a whole topic on them.
And us trying to see it.
Yeah, and not just that, you just said that, it sounded like borrowers or like borrowing.
After seeing all these words on this screen, right, that I've got in front of me, I am going to have a fear of words. You know, I'm going to get diagnosed with that hippopotamus blubbery, blubbery, blubbery thing, whatever it's called, you know. So, yes, there's actually a fear of gravity, the one thing that keeps you on Earth and the one thing you can't escape from.
It's gravity.
Can you imagine someone jumping in the street going, let us go, let us go, let us go. You'd think they were nuts.
Well, yeah, it's not like they got a button that says, oh, we're just going to turn the gravity off.
Yeah.
That'd be mean.
Imagine if they did. I'd be like...
Would they feel happy at all if they got shipped off to space?
Well, you'd be fucked because you wouldn't be able to survive in space anyway without, obviously...
Well, yeah.
It's one way of getting over it.
You go to the space station. I mean, it can't be a very, I was going to say popular fear, but I don't think any fear is actually popular. It kind of be like a very normal one.
But do you think they'd be more scared if they were in space of gravity?
I don't know. Because
to be honest, I think I would actually have that fear, because you're in the vast open space of nowhere at all, right? Why is on Earth? At least you've got concrete, or you've got grass or trees or something to break your fall, if that's the case. When you're in space, you're just endlessly floating.
Yeah, but you'd be dead. Yeah, but you won't know.
If you've got a fear of going into space, right, something of that fear is obviously to have the fear, you need to trigger it. So what is it that's triggered that? Is it a fear of heights?
No, it's probably a fear of seeing someone else die in space. That's probably what's caused it. But
it might be claustrophobia because you're in this capsule and you can't leave, you know?
Yeah, claustrophobia.
I've always wanted to go to space, but I know I'm claustrophobic. And the second I get into space, I'd break out in a sweat.
I don't think if you
I'm
were
so
scared.
Sending you to space.
If you were scared of gravity, you wouldn't be sent to space. That would be the worst thing you would
ever want to say. No, Matt, we want him to go.
No, what about saying, yeah, we want him to go, but no, it's different. You know, if someone's got...
You can just say, Colin, you know, I'm midway through the flight. I'm on my way to space. Yes, I'm on space. I'm getting close. I'm getting closer. Fuck, get the hatch open now.
I'd be freaking the hell out, yeah. As soon as I hit space and I take that seatbelt off, it'll be like, oh, yeah, yeah, yeah.
I'd love it.
Oh, how long whoop you for? 4 months.
Colin's standing there listening to everybody's got to say and slowly but surely fucking floating back. But the funny thing about that is I could imagine Colin still tripping in space.
I would actually.
He chips over his own little toe, Howie. He's kind of tripping over on that.
What I'm going to do, because I noticed when I was editing these episodes, I always say he has the thing. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to challenge myself not to say that so much.
Ready for the field?
He has a thing. You've already said it.
I've said it once. So starting from now, I've got to try
right,
not to
ready,
say that.
Ready, guys? We're
going to
count how many times he does this.
Yeah.
What are you not allowed to say?
I'll mark down every time. He has the thing.
Ah, you failed.
I say it all the time, right? So.
That was cruel.
I can't really say it without actually saying it.
Here's the thing.
But the thing is, though, we actually tricked you into saying it.
yeah, but that doesn't count. That's you just being dicks. And when the problem is, right, is that I'm claustrophobic, so I would freak out being up there. I then would remind myself, I've got to get back down to Earth. And my fear of heights would then start to kick in.
Yeah, I never understood that. You know what I mean? You've got a fear of going in an elevator, so you'll walk up like a tower block. You've got a fear of of like freaking height, so...
You might as well just stay low this one. Like,
I can just see him, you know, how he gets down the stairs. Is that he just sits down on his ass and slides down the stairs.
But have you ever had vertigo?
Wait, that's a fear, fear of looking down in or.
To be fair, it's along the same lines as a fear of height.
Yeah,
it's
I literally was sat on my sofa the other day, and no word of a lie. I felt vertigo when I stood up. I was just like, oh my God.
Oh,
like, what the fuck? I've never felt it in my life.
Well, has anyone here been at the top of Durham Cathedral?
Nope.
Definitely not me.
Yeah, I'm not that stupid.
I got up there with one of my family members and I looked over and vertigo kicked in. And basically what happened is when I looked down, everything span in front of us. And it spanned that much that I was at the point of passing out and I had to sit down. I remember going down them stairs on my bum. I was that scared to stand up.
But the thing is,
you know,
though,
every single step.
How you notice, though, those that have actually got a fear of heights, right? You know, you go to look at the scenery and you look at the view and stuff like that. You slowly but surely edge yourself forward to like a build up just to look over the wall. And even then, you're still about like 20 inches away from the like actually looking over.
Yeah. Wait. The thing is, though, they do say if you've got a fear of heights, you're more likely to jump in a suicide attempt, basically. You know?
Really?
I don't understand that, yeah.
I used to have a fear of heights.
I don't understand that.
I don't.
If you've got a fear of heights, why is it you would be more likely to jump? Although, I do know that with my fear, I've been watching shows where, you know, to climb them mast towers to fix the lights at the top.
Yeah.
And they're like 300, 400 foot off the floor. I've been watching them shows at the point where my hands have been sweaty. And I've thought to myself, what would I do in that situation? And I've come to the conclusion that I would be that fearful, I would just let go. I would literally let go. Knowing I was going to die and I was in a place and I could just climb down, I would just let go.
Worse than that, though, is I don't think I could actually do the other guys' jobs that actually have to climb skyscrapers to actually change the bulbs on top of the skyscrapers.
Oh, yeah, no thanks.
You know what I mean? You get all the way to the top and then you've got that thin piece that you've got to climb up just to change the bulb right at the top. Who thought of putting a bulb at the top of a fucking skyscraper?
Look at them washing the windows. It's like, hell no.
At least you've got like cables and stuff like that to kind of break your fall.
Snap at any moment.
Yeah, but even then, though, you yourself are actually harnessed in. So if anything happens, if that goes, you have a harness.
To be fair, in this situation, let's face it, how many people actually die from these jobs? It's probably very minimal. You know, you have the hazard pay because it's always a risk, but it's probably minimal. People do this job, you know. But I suppose, like us, if you've got that fear, it doesn't matter how minimal the chance of dying on it is, you're not going to want to do it, are you? Although the fear of heights isn't classed as an irrational fear. It is if you get scared from walking up two steps and you feel dizzy and so-and-so, but to have the actual fear of heights isn't irrational because the whole point of the fear of heights is to keep you safe. If we didn't have a fear of a height, we would get too close and fall.
Yeah.
So it's a human instinct.
Well, I'm just looking at trying to get a rough idea of statistics for that sort of thing, right? The data from the International Window Cleaning Association showed that between 2010 and 2014, only one high-rise window cleaner was killed each year. That's a big improvement compared to like 1932, an average of one in every 200 window cleaners that were actually killed in New York alone.
Imagine that.
Crazy.
And that I understand when New York, because that's the central of fucking skyscrapers, that shit, isn't it?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, but the thing is, one in 200 is going to die that year. You did say that year, didn't you?
That was a big improvement compared to 1932, when an average of one out of every 200. So yeah.
Imagine going to a job and being told, by the way, one of every 200 of the people we're employing here is probably going to be dead. So, you know, just prepare yourself, get life insurance. You know,
it's almost like a game host showing. It's like, congratulations, employee number 200. You're going to die this week.
Sadly, but the thing is, let's look at it for what it is. When your time's up, your time's up, regardless, you know.
Yeah, true.
You have all these fears of heights and claustrophobia and stuff like this for whatever reason. But if your time's up, it is physically up. You know, you could walk out and get hit by a bus tomorrow, but we're not fearful of every bus that passes. You know, I'd be knackered if I was, you know. I'd walk out and I'd be shaking.
Yeah, because every time a bus goes past you, it takes you with it. Because just from the breeze, man, you know?
I've got to get a pre-warning from Becca to grab onto the pole. And then I'm like the human-sized flag of UK flapping in the wind, you know?
So,
it does it for like, fun, man.
We've gone over like stupid irrational fears and stuff like that, you know what I mean? So yeah. I am going to go and turn it around to Becca here.
Oh, what?
Right.
What?
We might as well go and talk about our own fears.
I've got a couple of more.
We'll go through one, like one person at a time, and then get your facts out at the same time.
No, Rags. We'll just listen to his first. That's fine.
Oh, wait, Becca.
Come on.
Let me know.
No.
How?
No.
Let's know your deep rooted fears.
No.
Why?
Because they're stupid.
Nothing is ever stupid.
Nothing is actually
fears.
Stupid. I mean, yes, we might joke about it, but at the end of the day, it's still a fear.
Rags, it's
fear.
You. You're going to rip it in half.
No, we'll do that after the show.
The end of the day, if someone came up to me and says, well, afraid of balloons, I would laugh, you know. I'd feel like laughing because it's a balloon.
Yeah, but there could be a counter to that fear.
I'm scared of old women, they're violent.
Well, obviously.
Were you just saying that you're scared of that because of what happened today, Beggar?
Very much so.
So what is your deep-rooted fear?
Spiders. Creepy crawlies.
That can't be deep-rooted fear.
So arachnophobia.
What do you mean by rooted?
Like, your worst fear
your
in the world.
Your deepest fear, like, that you would...
Oh, we're going straight in it. We're just going straight in the deep end, over.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah. Well, yeah, I mean, we talked about the funny stuff, and we still will, but we want to know what our deepest, darkest fear is in life.
Oh.
We're, like, waiting, like, is it going to start yet, or what? Right, come on, Becca, you're first.
Mine's what losing someone. Like, you know, when you get close to people. I don't like it. Like
friend, yeah. Family, anything, like partner.
Anything. No, no.
Just anyone. Colin or can go. Specific person.
I'm over that one.
So, hold on. So, does that mean a stranger on the street could drop down?
Oh, I couldn't care about that. That's fine. I don't mean to sound heartless there.
You cruel bastard.
So, well, to be fair, we don't know them, so, you know.
So, your deepest fear is actually being scared of actually losing somebody close to you, whether it's friend or family.
Aye, that's why I don't really get close to people. Right. Sometimes it just gets forced on me.
I think many people have that fear, so you're not the only
I
one
never
on
that had
one.
That fear oh, until yeah. I started palliative care.
But the thing is, I mean, that is a reality, isn't it? We are all going to lose someone.
Yeah, we're all going to pass away, you know, even us.
Bye!
But having that as a deep fear, I mean, that's not a bad thing.
No.
You know, it just means you're a very loving person that cares.
What doesn't kill you makes you stronger.
Yeah, although she comes across as a complete fucking nutcase at times, she is actually very affectionate when she wants to be.
No, I'm not a softie.
But honestly, I'll give her... Bollocks. I say this to her the other day, she was going to work and it was like, oh, we've got to spare £12, just take away your... Spend it on what you want, blah, 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 blah. And she took a £12 to work. She came back with two shirts for us.
Oh, you soppy git.
I says, well, why didn't you just spend it on yourself? She went, well, because I wanted to spend it on you. I was like, oh.
But
But
she does this all the time, you know. Any money that's given to her, whether she's earned it or whether people have just gave it to her, she actually uses it to buy back for that person.
Well, here's the thing. I would do that, but I walk past some flowers and it's like, ooh, bet I would love them. And then I look at my bank and I think, oh, God, no.
And I only had £12 in my name.
Yeah, I'd spend my last 10 pence on you if you wanted a chip.
Shut up, you twat.
Yeah, you can't get no penny sweets anymore back then.
I'd share my last roll away.
The flowers are like, the I can't get your name out. Matt, are only £4.
Oh, did she just forget Matt's name?
Do you want to be sacked?
How dare you forget my name?
But yeah, that's the thing though, right? The only £4 or £5. I'm not an expensive person. I didn't like these roses. Someone buys me a rose, I'm going to smack it in your face.
Yeah, but that £4 or £5 could get us a drink.
There's plenty of water in the tap.
No, that £4 or £5 is what you want to spend on your sweets and your crap that you eat.
Right, Colin.
Well, yeah. I've got to keep a dentist in the job.
Let's put it this way, Colin, right? You've got £5. Do you buy Becca 5 roses or do you buy Becca 5 cans of Monster?
5 cans of Monster.
Even I know that.
It depends what mood I'm in on that day. No, if I want to be nice, I'll get out of Monster.
All the way.
If I want to be a sod, I'll buy a roses.
Lying against you in your eye.
What the hell? You'd probably sit there and go off for a bit and then the cats would kill them.
No, true. I would kill them.
So, your deepest fear is actually losing people close to you, which a lot of people out there ought to also have this fear as well. So, I think there's a lot of people that sympathise with you on that
there's
one.
There's a lot of lasses I work with. They're like that, but they only got as same as me is when we started palliative care.
But the thing... nearly. So
I'm sure you said it.
I nearly did. So
the thing is,
let's look at it for the truth of it. Right? Is that a fear that would kind of stop you living your life type of thing?
Yeah,
or is it just a fear because of am I going to lose someone? No. I know if you lost someone,
I wake up every day going, "Who's going to die today?"
It's not the fact of like that, it's the what comes after, you know, the depression.
Yeah.
And all that stuff, you know, whether you're close to them or not, you know, whether you're just...
I didn't believe in being so down after someone died until me nana.
I was the same. When my nana and granddad died, that was it for me.
Yeah, but I think a lot of that is the dealing with the grief. If you don't deal with it, well, I'm going to say the right way, even though there's no...
Oh, I never dealt with it the right way, I tell you now.
If you do the wrong thing when it comes to grief, I think it can cause a lot of mental health problems, can't it?
Yeah, my grief kind of destroyed me at that time, really.
A doctor had to check to see I was nearly an alcoholic.
I took a different route. I did the
self-harming and stuff like that. So
yeah, And the thing is, though, I mean, you can't say right and wrong. I mean, obviously, if someone walks up to you and says, I've self-harmed because of grief, mm-hmm. you can't sit there and say, you're a nutter, stop it. Mm-hmm. You know, because, and that's something that's helping them, but you obviously don't want that person to self-harm.
No, because a lot of people, if you said to someone, oh, I self-harmed, they would say, you're doing it for attention.
Mm-hmm.
Not once did I do that for attention. I did it to take the pain away. I was
like,
devastated.
Why would you want to cause that much pain to yourself for attention?
Exactly.
Well, this is how I see it. If you say you cut your arm.
Okay.
After Becca
dies. Okay.
Okay. Are you sure you're okay?
I don't know. I think I've swallowed a fly.
Wait. Oh.
I don't know. She swallowed a fly. I don't know why.
We know an old lady who swallowed a fly, and we don't know why, all right? So maybe you can tell her why.
What was it? It was like a fly. Was it a fly, then a spider? What was after the spider?
I don't know. I'm not going through all of what she swallowed.
Yeah, but I'm just trying to work out at what point of the list that the cat. I just want to know at what point through the list. For God's sake, I want to know at what point during that list that the cats start disappearing in your house, Colin.
It was after the bird. So she swallowed the spider to catch the fly. She swallowed the bird to catch the spider. She swallowed the cat to catch the bird. She swallowed the dog to catch
the
cat.
Right, well, you don't have dogs, so you're safe there, right? So.
All right, well.
And then the last one's dead, of course. So, because she swallowed a horse.
All right.
Is everyone up to date with that?
Yeah, let's go back to where we were.
Anyway, back to fears, right? We've covered
Beggars.
I know how
to keep going off air, drop the object, and it's not even me doing it. Matt, what's yours?
Mine? Mine is death. That's my biggest fear.
Afraid of dying?
I am. When I think about death, I've sat there many times, like on the sofa, and it just comes to my mind, and I'm like, I actually get physically scared, knowing that one day I am going to die. And it freaks me out. It really does. And I have to stop thinking about it, because that's how we'll, like, you know, just have a breakdown there and then.
That's the reality, though. We've all got to face that one day, don't we?
Yeah, I know that. It still, like, you know, freaks you out.
But, it doesn't get rid of that fear. I know where you're coming from, because I've had that fear myself. I was able to get through it. But it's, like, just the thought of dying and what's out there and what's
coming. Yeah, like, there's nothing next, you know, like, what comes next?
Yeah, it's a fear. I mean, I found myself sitting there one night, and I'm not saying this to try and scare you or anything, and I tried to remember, like, what was it before I was born? So if you're sitting there and you're terrified at night, Matt, you can thank us.
Right, did you just go, boom?
Yeah, did you?
You fucked us up.
Not meaning to scare you.
I try to remember, like, what it was like before I was born, and, like, all I can remember is darkness.
Yeah, but that's the thing that, like, you know, scares me, you know, just knowing that what is next? Is there anything?
What is next? And that did put fear up. It's like, if I close my eyes, is it going to be like I'm asleep? You know, you don't remember nothing. And I think it's that losing of consciousness and losing that self-being, isn't it? It's just, it puts that fear in you, like, God, I'm never going to...
I don't know, I just think, you know, we've lived our life, like, you know, and it's just going to end. Like, what if you don't, you know?
Is that your actual belief, though? Do you believe that, like, when you die, that's it? Or do you believe that you move on?
No, I believe that that's it.
I don't. I've had many experiences.
Yeah, but you believe that aliens created us. Like, come on, seriously.
Sorry to chuck it in there, but
well, come on, Matt. Some of the things we'll see.
He believes in God, but also believes in aliens. What is this world coming to?
I don't know. I just believe.
You never know.
We are.
May have been gods.
We're here, and then we're gone, and then we don't get.
Which is a horrible way of thinking. But in my defense, I'd rather believe what I believe, because if I believe that and I die and it all goes black, I think it was mentioned before by another. Not a person that came on the show. If it goes black, then you've lost nothing, you know. But if you die and something is there, and then you get there and it's like, burn for the rest of your life, bitch, you know.
Yeah, but it's like the Bible says, it's about heaven and shit. There's no proof of heaven. How do we know what? Just because a book says there's heaven and hell, you know. There's no proof that it actually exists.
At the same time, there's no proof of many, many things, but we still believe it. So
yeah, because of social media and shit like that. That's why we believe it.
Yeah, but the thing is, you go on faith, don't you? And we've all got things we believe, we've all got things we don't. There's no wrong, there's no right, and we'll find out one day at the end.
Yeah, it's also like, you know, I'll go back to the part of self-harming. Yeah, I never did it to end my life, so, you know, I do not want to die. Ever. I'd happily become a vampire, yeah, and if I could
live for the rest of your life,
I really would, and I would turn all my family members into vampires just so I wouldn't be alone.
But I think that's even a natural fear, though, isn't it?
Being alone.
Being alone, dying, losing people.
Could I counteract that slightly?
What?
If you said, oh, I would turn my family into vampires and stuff like that,
it would be selfish.
I was just about to say, would that be your selfish thing? As sad as I say is, I'm about to actually do the whole vampire diary on you. Right? Where Stefan feeds on his dad and then goes and actually teaches Damon to actually turn. So it's Stefan's fault that Damon became a vampire, which gave Damon the eternity to give freaking Stefan hell, basically. But that's his punishment for actually turning something. I can see your family members, especially your sister, doing the same thing back to you.
No, I think my sister would be happy.
I really do.
Same, yeah.
To look now, like, and think that, you know, if my sister ever passed before me, I would be completely devastated, you know, to be, because I would feel 100% alone. I really would, because she is constantly there for me. She has been for many years, and I would be devastated. I'd be alone.
I think in that situation, yeah, you're right. It would be selfish to turn someone.
It would, but, you know, that's my choice.
If someone came up to me and says, right, you can have eternal life, do you want it?
Yes.
I would say no.
I would say yes, straight away. There would be no hesitation.
I'm happy enough to pass away one day. You know, everything's got to come to an end, even the good.
Yeah, but to what end, you know? Is that our end completely? Is there anything else? That's just what I want to know, you know.
But the thing is, you'll never know, will you? Until that day comes. And when that day comes, you'll either go to sleep forever or you wake up on the other side and it'll be like, damn, you know, I never knew this world existed. Why couldn't I came here?
Or you'll wake up and realise you were just plugged into the Matrix.
Yeah.
Quite a film, eh?
Well, as one person who was a guest on the show did say, there's a reason we don't know what comes after death.
Yeah, well, those are my two biggest fears, you know.
Yeah, but the thing is, as he says, or as he believes, if you knew what come after death, then when things got bad, there would be no reason to stay, would there?
But do you think if we knew what was next, that and it was something great, do you think majority of people would end their life on purpose just because they knew what was next and it was so great that they couldn't resist?
I wouldn't say majority. I couldn't speak for majority. I can speak for myself and say, yeah, I would have.
No, like, obviously, our personal opinion, you know, what we think about it. Do we think that they would or they wouldn't?
I think there's a lot of people that would, but I don't think everyone would.
Right, the only thing we can actually do is ask the audience, would you, if you found out that you could had a different life, if somebody showed you what your next life would be, would you do it? Would you end your life and go do it or not? Because I think it would be a good argument. I think it'd be a 50-50. I think people, depending on what the situation is that they had been showed, would they actually end their life because it's a better life than what they've got? Or would they realise that the next life is going to be even shittier than what they're living now and they'll try and live this life out as long as possible?
This is the question. It's not like, would you go on to another life? It's like, if you knew what was on the other side. So if you knew life was, like, you went to the other side and it was rosy, like, we're promised in the Bible, like, it's heaven.
Not even just that, like, you were offered the perfect life, you know, would you take it? Mm-hmm. Or would you stick to this life? Obviously, I think a majority would choose the perfect life.
Yeah.
Well, we kind of went off there, anyway. I think a lot of people would choose the life they've got.
What's yours then, Colin?
Mine is rejection from people that love and care for you for just no apparent reason.
I get it.
Yeah, I get that one.
I've had a bit of rejection too from
but I've got a great fear of it, so it's that bad that if I feel like I'm being rejected, I turn away and I would leave the person and just not talk to them.
Yeah.
I would cut them out of my life before they even rejected me.
So is that why you keep falling out with us and end up being friends by Christmas again?
Well, yeah, you give really good presents.
Okay, when Christmas comes around, I've got a good heart at that time, and it's like, oh, Rags, I'll be your friend. But
you've got a heart.
When the new year comes.
Yeah, where?
When the new year comes, it's a bit of a one of them.
A new one on me.
Rags is a dick, really, and I don't want to speak
wrong. Aren't you all?
No, I'm not.
No, you're just a bitch.
Yes, I'm right.
I'm going to put it out there. Is anyone like Becca? If you do, give us your address. I'll send her off.
Hey, that's not nice.
Right. So
I wanted to send you off.
Is it just that one, or do you have more?
No, it is generally just that one. To the point where, like, I will officially, like, push people out if I feel like that person's taking them piss. If that person's going to hurt us, if that person's going to reject me, I will physically put the barrier up and stop that person getting any closer. Done it loads in my life. It stems a lot from when I was younger, you know, how I was treated as a being and how I felt, to obviously in adulthood. So it's like a self-preservation, a self-security, you know.
I just think a lot of people have that, you know, the fear of rejection.
Yeah, but people think of rejection in a weird way, you know what I mean? Colin has this one where there's a fear of rejection of people, you know what I mean? People will actually have a fear of rejection from jobs and stuff.
Knowing him, it's not just people.
I don't care if a person out in the street look at us and says, you're an ugly sod.
That happens every day.
But I don't care. I don't care about that. What I care about is so very close people to us.
Yeah.
So brothers, you know, nanas, uncles, just anything like that. I take bad to any thought of rejection. And I can take it out on the people. I can shut myself off to the people.
Oh, yes.
Like I say, the only people that I know is the people who are close to us when they start sitting there questioning, why is Colin different with us? You know, and it's at that point where I've determined, right, you're going to hurt me or you're going to reject this, yes, or I don't want nothing to do with you, you know. So that's how bad it is with us. That's how bad the fear of rejection is I'll reject you before you reject me type of attitude to keep myself safe. And the actual reality is, as much as I do that, it actually hurts us doing it because I'm rejecting the person and I don't want them to reject me. So I still want them in my life, but I'm rejecting them, you know? So it's a complete...
It's like a defense mechanism as well, if you think
about
it.
Yeah, so I should probably seek help for it, but, you know, I've lived with it that long.
It's kind of like you bring it on yourself, though. And I was like, oh, they're going to reject us. Right, I'll get there before you.
There's a paranoia, you know, as well, because sometimes it may not feel that way.
The person, I think it happened before with you, Rags, might have only done something silly or said something wrong. It's been picked up wrong. And I've took it that it's going to lead to the person that's going to cut us out of life, blah, 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 blah. And then in return, that's when I put my walls up and I start pushing onto that person. Well, if that person didn't mean it in that way, that leads to friction, you know? And that person starts thinking you don't like them and you don't want that to do with them. So they start to reject you in return. So as you say, you've brought it on yourself in the whole process.
But
you know?
I don't think it's always the person though. I think a lot of it's got to do with life as well.
It's not that. I think one of the things, I'm not going to say who, when, where, when, why, but not long ago I had a massive argument. And that was down to the fact of rejection. I felt I was getting rejected. I felt I was getting a thingy. So my walls went up immediately as a self-preservation. And it hurt. I mean, doing this really, really hurt to the point where I was crying a couple of days later. I was like in tears. This was my way of trying to preserve myself from being hurt in such a way that I wouldn't suffer. But in turn, I was suffering because of what I'd done. And it was my fault. It was down to me, you know, because I put my walls up straight away. Instead of being sensible and just talking, I didn't. It was straight away self-preservation. I'm not going to get hurt like this. I'll make sure we don't talk, blah, 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 blah. So in turn, I do a lot of it myself, and I bring it a lot on myself. You know, I'm lucky. I've got such good people in my life, like Rags and others in my life, and even you, Matt.
Others, Becca.
Right, fine, okay. Yeah. Use, all right, like Matt and Becca.
No, I'm an other. It's fine.
Well, to be fair, Matt, you've had it in the neck a few times as well.
Oh, yes,
you're an asshole.
To the point now that Matt sits and says, "Is Colin on his period again?"
Yeah, yeah.
I do.
This is for me. I'm just lucky. I've got people who understand us and know us, and take that on board and are very forgiving. And like, look,
who told you I forgive you?
It's buying his time.
Revenge
I'll
is
be
sweet.
Nice to you from
it's buying his time and going, Dick. Do you know when you did this to us? Have this.
Yeah, I've got it all on recording and everything.
So that fear was that fear can cause a lot of trouble for us, but. I think, like Matt says, it's not just fear, it's a lot of self-preservation, a lot of self-defense coming into it because of past.
And a lot of people just want to suffer in silence, basically.
Yeah. That's exactly what I'm like. If I'm suffering, I'm going to suffer on my own because I was always brought up, I'm a man, I can't show weakness. I know that's not true. You know, we're human.
Yeah, but
we're not man,
it took
female,
you a while
human.
To
we
get into that state of mind, though.
Oh, yes, I show me weaknesses now, which took us a long time, but that's how I was brought up, you know. That's how I was told, you know, you show weakness, blah, 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 and all this. So I grew up in that way, and then I found out quite sharply in life that if you don't show your emotions, you're just a dickhead.
Yeah, Rag.
Why did you throw that at me for?
Because you barely show any emotions sometimes.
Raps, you've actually been really good with your emotions lately.
Well, it's not really get worked up about, really, is it?
Not really. You've done well, though. You've done well. From the person I first met who wouldn't talk about nothing, no, you never shut up.
Really?
For the last 5 minutes, yeah. But that's because, you know, it's normally it's like 3 hours later for me when I start talking. That was like Colin for like nearly fucking six,
well,
7 minutes.
Well, now you've
there.
Mentioned it. What's yours? Big mouth.
Yes, Rags.
Yeah, come on.
My fears. I have a couple of fears.
I know, it's losing me. I get it.
No, actually.
Oh, wow.
One fear is actually living.
What?
I actually fear being
alive. I didn't mean to sound horrible. I've never heard that one before.
Yeah, I'm kind of confused with that one.
So people have this rational fear of actually dying. They don't know what's going to happen after they die or anything like that, you know.
Like me.
People are concerned about dying. They don't think about life. They don't think about living. So in my mind, I actually fear what comes next in my life.
Yeah.
You know, so I'm fearing what's going to happen to me tomorrow.
Yeah,
the next
person,
5 minutes.
Only person that could sort that out, though, would be you.
Mm-hmm.
But that could be the same for you when it comes to the whole death situation.
No, I can't do nothing about me dying, can I? If it's my time, it's my time.
Man.
You know what I mean?
Is it not more of a fear of control over your own life rather than a fear of living? Because you feel like you can't control what's coming.
To an aspect of it, yes. Which is my second fear is a fear of succeeding. So a fear of living because I don't know what's going to come in the next part of my life, the next chapter of my life. Although it kind of gives you a sense of dread and a sense of excitement at the same time, you know. Say, like, ooh, what's going to happen? Is it going to be good? Is it going to be bad? You know, it's like, do I want to know? Do I not want to know? Shall I just stay in bed? Shall I not leave the house? And all that. It like sets off all of your fears at the same, like all your problems at the same time. So like my mental health and stuff like that. Prime example. Every time that I say that I'm going to go see Colin or Becca or I'm going to go to like to the shops and stuff like that, I always get to my front door, right? Put my hand on the handle after unlocking the door. Then I actually push the handle back up and lock the door and don't bother going out because it's a fear of kicking in of what actually is going to come next. Is it going to be good or is it going to be bad that's coming next?
Well, normally it would be sitting in a chair having a coffee. Oh, sorry. It'd be sitting in a chair and then asked to make a coffee.
It doesn't even get in the chair.
Yeah, but then
I don't even get through the door.
Coffee rags, coffee rags.
As well. you know, controlling your own life. You know, that same what Colin said, you know.
I know, but it's going off subject.
The thing is, that is a rational fear. I mean, you know, not having control over your own life.
Yeah, I think we've all got it.
You can understand having that fear. But obviously, from what Rags is saying, obviously that's materialised into a worse fear than what it should be.
Yeah.
It's kind of the same with, like, the fear of being successful, you know, in anything. You know, so, like, successfully getting a job, successfully doing something with your life, you know, successfully gaining a relationship, you know, family members and stuff like that. Although I am not actually close with my family, as you know yourself, you know, I've had a fallout with my family.
Who needs family when you've got us?
Oh, yeah.
Me.
Although I have friends around us that I actually class as family, family itself, I've never understood. I've never liked the aspect of family, because I've never had it, like, growing up.
Yeah.
You know, I've always been in and out of the care system. I've always been, like, from house to house to house, from friends' houses to, like, sofa surfing to being on the streets. Mm. I've been all over the place. You know, when it comes to me doing stuff for being successful, you know, like, say people telling me, oh, well, you can be successful in this, because I've tried that and I feel like I'm going to succeed in it, I actually self-destruct and pull myself away because the fear kicks in of being successful.
I think it's also like the failures, you know, because I get scared of failing.
Because I'm used to failing. I've failed majority of my life.
A fear, though, you know, because you're more scared of failing than you are succeeding.
I'm not. And that's the problem. I'm not afraid of failing. I am afraid of succeeding.
Yeah, because you failed so much in the past. It's basically like you're still afraid in a way.
No. I mean, I understand what you're trying to say, but I do not fear failing because I've done it that much. I don't fear it. I'm used to it happening. I'm used to things going wrong. So it's like, well, what's the point of being successful?
Yeah, well, along the family side, I'm a big believer, as you all know, that, but, you know, you don't have to be blood to be family.
Oh, I agree.
You know, family is what you make of it. I've got yous lot, you know, yous are family to us. And then I've got my blood family, and I would treat yous no different.
I'm just, you know, the other.
Matt, I am so sorry, and I'll make it up to you on your birthday. When is that again?
It's been my birthday, you missed it.
Oh, damn it.
It was last week.
Yeah, he's finally joined the old crew.
When you come up here, we'll have a good laugh.
Maybe.
Yeah.
Unless you're on your period.
Well,
if he's on his period, Matt, just slap him, Addy.
I'll leave that to you, Becca.
You know what it is? Most people just sit there and look at us as if to say, not again. Not again, Colin.
Oh, we'll sit there, listen to you again, on and on and on, and then sit there and go, are you done yet?
Yeah, exactly.
You got it out of your system? Are you all done? Are you all better now? But no, it's at this moment in time, right? My fear of being successful has been kicking in recently because this was brought on because of Matt.
Not in a bad way,
right? You gave me the idea to go for this.
Oh, I didn't say nothing. I mentioned about the TikTok about the eggs. That was it. Didn't say
hatching eggs.
What have I missed? I've been away not even a minute.
You know about the eggs?
My birdies.
Not your birdies. They're not.
Shut up, Rags. They're mine. End of discussion.
They're not yours.
So basically, because I want to, like, make a business out of it, right? I've got the fear of actually being successful in it. You know, it's like, I want this to happen, but the fear of theirs being, like, being successful, you know what I mean? Shall I just, like, shut it down because it's becoming too real, if that makes sense?
Yeah, but the thing is, in that same breath, obviously you had to fail your side where a few of the eggs haven't hatched, there's still a chance the other ones, but they may not. And one sad little birdie died. But what you got to take from that is that although that was a failure at that point, get another batch and they may all hatch. You know,
that
right?
He's a poet, and he didn't even know it.
But guys, we are getting closer to time, and I do want to put your mind at ease, Rags. Season 4 is going to be quite a season, and I suggest everyone listens to it, and we're definitely not going to get successful after this season.
Say that word again.
So don't worry about that.
Yeah.
Successful.
That's yeah, but wait, this episode was a disaster.
No, I don't think it was, you know.
It's
not a disaster, but I think there is a section, thanks, Rags, so we're going to have to cut out.
Hang on, what section?
Just everything you
the
said.
The section where you advise people to do something.
Well, how else was I supposed to put it?
You weren't meant to say it.
Talk to someone.
Yeah.
That's how you
that
say it.
That person that sent you that message was the
needs
wrong
a slap.
They do, 100%.
I'll tell you after this.
Yeah, no worries.
No problem. Let's go out of the episode. Anyway. Right. It's been a great episode, thank you.
It has, yeah.
Becca, unmute yourself because you end up having to say bye at the same time. So stop trying to freaking disappear.
I don't know why it happened. I didn't even touch it.
Ladies and gentlemen, she's trying to escape without even saying goodbye to you all. How horrible is that?
How fucking rude.
My bad. I'm nice, really.
She's not. She's a bitch.
I'm the biggest bitch going.
So we have a lot of things coming up in season 4. We've actually got a good, decent list of what I'm looking at right here. So it is all going to be good. It's going to be fun. It's going to be crazy. It's going to be stupid.
And serious.
And then there's Rags.
And serious. And there's Rags, right? Okay, I get that.
Special person.
You know, so I think you have gave me control of the Instagram side of things, haven't you, Colin?
Yes.
So,
well, that's dangerous.
We'll be running the blogs as well.
We shall be updating the Instagram of what we do behind the scenes. You know, Colin sitting doing his editing, Matt sitting doing whatever Matt does. More
work.
Likely taking pictures of people at work.
That's naughty.
And Becca just complaining.
Just Becca getting attacked in general.
And when we'll find Crazy Jay, a picture of his rock.
Yes, when we'll find it. I think I've got my photography birds out loud right, looking at that rock. We've found a rock. Whether that's the right one or not, I don't know.
Who knows?
Exactly.
To be continued.
You all know the website. You all know the Instagram. So go and have a look at that.
Yeah, go check us out.
Check us out, you know. Matt's getting impatient, you know. We don't want to lose him in season 5 because you all haven't said hi.
Hi!
We just need, you know, we want to get our message out there that we are amazing.
We are.
We are, but Matt.
Without any further ado, we are actually going to end this episode now. Stay safe and just be happy, okay?
And enjoy your life.
Exactly.
Bye
for now.
No, you should have said, and we'll just see you in the next episode.
And we will see you in the next episode. Bye for now.
Bye, Felicia.
Bye.